Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Daniel Mangana and David Spreckle, the Stream of David. Today is Tuesday, September the 15th, 2020. It's 4 p.m. New York time. Wherever you are in the world, thanks for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And guys, I was just sharing a story with you that, believe it or not, I'm really not ready to tell it on the show. I always like to get the whole thing together before I tell the story, but you guys heard the story. And basically, I dove down to the depths of despair and then rose back up to the heights of joy in 1 hour. And I do not recommend that roller coaster to anybody. I just want to say that. I just do not recommend that roller coaster. It is not fun, but at least I came out of it. And that was the good part. I could have stayed down there. And it's like I was telling my wife yesterday, it felt like I was feeling depression, anger, fear, despair, frustration, all at the same time. It was just so disorienting. I mean, I was in pain. I was practically rolling on the floor in pain. But thank God for a wife who understands LOA. Thank God for my own understanding about LOA. I knew I had to climb out of it. She helped me to climb out. I did climb out. Thank you, universe. And there were good reasons why I climbed out, which I told you guys about. But it just goes to show, anybody can go into a dive. Doesn't matter how much you work on it. Doesn't matter how much you think you've got it figured out. You can go into a dive and it can come unexpectedly. Mm. So there's my lesson for the day. So with that happy thought in mind, Daniel, how you doing?
I'm doing generally fabulous. It's one of those, there's not really much unfabulousness happening at all.
Unfabulousness.
But there's just been a weird thing with my energy levels recently, which is odd because I have these supplements that I use that have not failed me. But we went for dinner, for example, on Saturday, and at the restaurant, I just was like, whoa, just whoa, like I couldn't stay awake. Like we had to.
Wow.
It's really, I don't have like, I'm not narcoleptic. Narcoleptic, is that what they call it? Narcoleptic, yeah. When you just fall asleep?
Yeah.
I'm not that way at all. And this morning I struggled to get up, like I said, when I was speaking to you guys. And I get a burst of energy when I'm doing my work. And then as soon as I'm off doing my work, it's like, boom, again.
Wow.
Really interesting. So I've been honoring it, rearranging my commitments as much as I can, so that I can just give myself space to sort of just veg a little bit. And I've taken a look at my diet. I don't see where it is. So it's a bit of a weird one.
Well, better than what I went through, I can tell you that.
I'd rather
it sounds like your body is just manifesting a rest period for itself.
That's what I think it is.
It's telling you to slow down.
Yeah. So.
Stop hammering.
How are you, David?
I'm good. I'm really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good, I'm glad. We got somebody who's doing great.
No apparent reason. No, there's good stuff going on for sure, but I'm just generally really, really just good.
Mm. Excellent.
I had a little downward flow there for a little bit, and the thing is, and what we were talking about before we went live, when you do this vibrational work that we all do to raise your vibration, raise your vibration, raise your vibration, well, polarity is going to take you down sometimes. And when you're so used to being high, the low becomes a lot more uncomfortable. I get that from boot camp people. In fact, I just had a boot camp call with somebody this morning and she said the same thing. Like, wow, you're right. It's a lot more uncomfortable. And it's what we used to settle for vibrationally was okay. But now we don't want that. We want to feel happy. We want to feel joy. We want everything just to manifest and just be and unfold. And life gets like that, but not always. Mm. The polarity is going to take us down through that flow. And that down it's like flying first class all the time. And then you get bumped back to coach and suddenly coach that you used to fly all the time was okay. And now it really sucks because you're used to sitting in first class.
It always sucks for me because I'm 6'8". So coach can never fit me. It is not a pretty thing.
Good Lord.
So yeah, well, I do appreciate the value of, that contrast of that polarity. I hadn't really thought about it the way you just said, though, that we used to live in that space. I did live in that space. I know each of you guys have it at times, too. And wow, I used to live there? Cause I was in pain. I had a pillow clutched to my stomach. I was in so much pain. How could I have lived in that? And yet you're right. I did. How did I do that? I don't understand. How do people live there?
Most people do.
And some people are happy being there.
It's fear and it's anger and it's picking sides and it's hysteria. Look at all the hysteria we have about it.
Yeah. It's true. It's true.
Yeah. That's how it manifests.
On that hysteria, what's been really funny, me watching, are the people who are being hysterical about the hysteria. to the hysteria. It's like they're giving as much energy to the anti-hysteria.
Yeah.
That actually they're just being hysterical.
Yep.
They're being hysterical about hysteria.
Yeah. We need to get love and light here going, guys. We need to be warriors of goodness.
Warriors of goodness.
I just got through answering somebody on my YouTube channel about that she's love and light, and I'm talking about stuff because I'm a white man and I'm privileged. And whoa, you know, you're trolling me and judging me and doing all this stuff on one video from 2 years ago. And she went into that. I'm a light worker. I'm healing the world. The world is broken and damaged, and I'm healing the whole world. And every time I talk to somebody that says they're doing that, they're really healing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're attempting to heal themselves by trying to heal the world. And,
yeah.
But you can get so caught up in trying to heal the world that you completely bypass the parts of yourself that need healing though, right?
Well, I think what it is it's easier to say I'm going to go heal the world rather than looking at your own crap.
Yeah. Agreed.
I mean, on the other side, of course, if you're in a relatively higher vibration place, even if your aim is wrong, you're still helping.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times we don't realize that we think we're in this action-oriented world, and when you raise your vibration, you're supposed to be a light worker and go out and heal and save people from themselves and do all this stuff. But vibrationally, when you raise your vibration, you are contributing so much to the collective by your example and by your high vibration. And part of really zooming out to source perspective is allowing people to have their experience. And being helpful if they want it, but not trying to insert yourself and save people from their experience.
Right.
Because we all went through crap that got us here. So let everybody else go through their crap to it, you know, and provide example as inspiration and let them choose whether or not they want to take it.
So on that note, I'm going to take this opportunity to send some high vibes to our friend Alex King, who is once again dealing with some health issues. And Alex, if you're in our thoughts and we're sending you these high vibes, use them. Put them to good use. Get into that high vibe place so you can climb out of where you are right now. And I know she generally is a fairly high vibe person, so that's not going to be a real big job for her. But she needs to climb out. She needs to give herself some more healing. So heal yourself.
You know, the most important thing we can do in these practices is understand that we shouldn't beat ourselves up for not being perfect.
Yeah.
Law of attraction is never going to be about perfection because of vibrational flow and polarity. It's not going to be perfection. And you said one time that, you know, people get sort of not all the plates spinning at once. You get a couple spinning and they're doing great. You got the money coming in and you've got maybe the relationship and the health isn't there. That's really what life is.
Yeah, that's true.
And life generally does with this practice get better and better and better and better. But I have not experienced perfection.
No.
And I'm okay with not having perfection now. And that's the big thing is having.
I got a really big lesson in that last night.
With issues.
I mean, yesterday I had such a big lesson in that because I felt about as far away from perfect as you can get. So it really caught me. I knew for a fact that I wasn't perfect. And maybe it's
our obstacles are here to serve us. So if you meet them if you meet them as, wow, I created this thing, this pile of crap. I've created this pile of crap.
Oh yeah, I owned it.
And it's here to serve a purpose. And all I need to do is raise my vibration and figure out what that is and solve it. And look at all the things we create in this world because of a problem.
Which, by the way, I was only able to accomplish after I stopped asking myself, why did I do this? I know I did this. Why did I do? What on earth was I thinking? You know, this was not going to help at all. But that's what I kept asking.
Yeah, the why needs to come later. You raise the vibration, solve the problem, and then figure out the why. That's sometimes I need months of distance. I need months of distance sometimes to look back and realize, wow, now I see. Now it's unfolded completely. Why I manifested that awful thing that I had to go up in vibration and not worry about how to just allow it to be solved. And now that I've had some distance and some breathing room and all the negative energy is sort of dissipated around it, I see now the gift that thing was.
I like to use, I like to look at it as the fact that, oh, I do create stuff. How cool.
Yes.
There's my point of appreciation.
Who knew I was that
powerful? Here's the pile of crap that I just created. Look at that. Look what I can do.
Good. Like when I get really stuck and I'm finding myself really struggling to find the appreciation, I'm like, hot damn, I'm a good manifester. Didn't fancy this one, but a good manifester all the same.
That's good. Yeah. That's a really good way to look at it. If you're going to mess up, you're going to do it on a big scale.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see how big we can make this one. And then maybe something we like next time. Okay.
I work with people that have been boot camp people that I see they have this continuing pattern of letting things unwind so they can fix them. Letting businesses wind down to almost bankruptcy so they can pull it back out. And it's I've seen people go through these cycles in their lives, letting their relationships sort of unravel a little bit so they can make it better. Process
well,
of creation.
That was, you mentioned that with time, you get a perspective on what happened. Now, I've only had 12 hours or something like that, so I haven't had a whole lot of time, but I already have one perspective that has come to me. And I have to question my own judgment, but perspective was I was giving the hospital a push because it wasn't doing anything. This hospital that I was involved with that was causing this, well, they weren't causing, but they were involved in the situation that led me to deep despair yesterday. And no, I wasn't in the hospital. No, it was not a health issue. It was something related, a service that I provide that was messed up. But the hospital had been doing their part regarding that service, and they were just kind of dragging their heels. So I had to go through, apparently, this whole great big crash in order to get them off their butts and say, well, geez, we really ought to get this thing done.
So you provided an added value service for them. You should
apparently, it. Yeah. I wonder if I could charge
definitely request the bonus for bonus.
There should be a clarity charge for
that's right.
No, a spiritual enlightenment charge.
That's right.
And fairy cakes and rainbow dust are not accepted.
There you go.
I love it.
You might get a spiritual payment, right?
Oh, well, I just sent it by Vortex Gram. Did you get it yet? It doesn't look like you're vibrating.
You didn't get the vibration?
You didn't get the vibration. Have you guys seen that JP Sears video?
No.
How spiritual people make money?
No.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Probably
I need to send it to you. It's amazing.
Okay.
Absolutely amazing.
Sounds great. Yeah.
His mockery is mocktastically wonderful.
Mocktastic. Ooh.
There
you
are
great. You coin fabulous words. I don't know if you realize that, but you coin really fabulous words.
I got it from the field. It was a manifestation. I didn't do that consciously. It came to me.
Oh, great stuff. All right. Well, we do have a few things for the stream. So David, why don't you make your connection and we'll have a little conversation there. And in the meantime, while David's making that connection, I will remind people that you also can get your questions sent in to have the stream answer them live on the show. That's what the contact form is. The question form is on the LOA Today app. Bing, bing. One more reason for having that app. So if you haven't downloaded the app, what are you waiting for? If you have downloaded the app, use it. Send us a question. That's why we have it in there. And thank you to all listeners who have been sending in questions and even comments using the form on the app, but we really appreciate you putting the LOA Today app to use. And by the way, make sure you share with friends too, because other people need to know about what we're doing here at LOA Today, helping people to raise their vibe and giving people the opportunity to ask questions of the stream of David or Psychic Reader or just any of our co-hosts. I mean, Dan over here, money magic master. I mean, this guy just knows everything about manifesting money. Ask him the questions too. So, take advantage of the form and, we'd love to have you do that. So stream, I think I kind of see your
kind of
impressions.
Felt that as well.
Yeah.
We are here.
All right. Hello, stream. So we don't have a lot of stuff for you, but what we have is going to be, I think, one of those in-depth kinds of sessions. So, well, the first one is a little bit light and it's fun. First one is from Melissa and she says, do our pets have souls? And if so, do they attract illness into their lives, or do we, as their caretakers, manifest it? And she signs it, Love and Light, Melissa.
All creation has consciousness flowing through it. All living beings are strands of consciousness. And you often label this as soul. We use the term soul consciousness. We often use the term independent strands of soul consciousness, because all of these independent strands that are projecting themselves into physical and perceiving a physical experience are part of a collective. There is a collective of humanity. There's a collective of the animals of your planet. There's a collective of your planet. There's a collective of your universe and so forth out from there. And all of it contributes to the collective consciousness that is source, that which we are. And every single thing has a level of consciousness, but it is not all the same, obviously. A stone and a human being are not operating at the same frequency and the same level of consciousness. An animal and a human being are both eternal strands of consciousness. But the human mind is very different, obviously, than the animal mind. But all creation occurs via attraction, regardless of the type of a physical being. So an animal, it has a vibrational flow just as a human does. And in that vibrational flow, we'll encounter fear and other emotions that will attract unwanted things. And ultimately, all physical beings are designed to have a span of time. And their being experience is designed to wear their physical bodies out and return them to their completed state. So an animal is going to manifest an illness via lower vibrational thought the same way a human will. Humans are far more active with their thought process, though. And notice that you have created many more illnesses based on your fear and your focus upon than your animal kingdom has. Your illnesses are more complex, but your bodies are also more complex. And an animal has its own vibrational flow, but an animal can also take on the vibration as a collective in a household. Of the household, notice that a household of hypochondriacs will likely have a sickly pet. There's a collective consciousness in that unit. And the focus upon the animal's lack of well-being can be absorbed by the animal. And the focus upon constantly trying to tinker with its health or constantly taking it to the vet and things of this nature are hypochondriac behavior by the human that is negatively impacting the pet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. In fact, the experience that I had last night reinforced that second bit for me, because we have two cats, two black cats. One is mostly an outdoors cat, except during the winter. The other one is more of an indoor cat. And in the midst of what I was going through last night, my wife decided, okay, we got to get some takeout, and you just got to eat some food before you do anything else, because right now you just kind of need to regain your balance, and the food is a good way to do that. So we went to get some food. And while we're outside, my cat comes up to me. And normally he wants attention. He's like a very social cat, you know, so he came out to he generally comes out to anybody who will come outside because we're in a complex and greet them and rub up against them and ask for pets and so forth. Last night, he came up to me and rubbed up against me and stayed there. He was just leaning against my leg and looking at me. And what I interpreted immediately from that was he was feeling how low my vibration was. He wanted to have some way to help me raise my vibration. It was crystal clear to me. Mm-hmm. So when you were describing how cats, dogs, any other kind of animal can have that kind of connection with us and can experience that kind of vibration, I was saying, well, yeah, it's exactly what happened with my cat last night. And also regarding Melissa's question, that the way she started off, she said, do our pets have souls? I think she already knows the answer to that. I know for a fact that they do. I can just tell. I mean, both of my cats are so different. I mean, visually they look very similar, but they are two entirely different personalities. And I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this. Cats have a way of communicating by blinking eyes. If they blink their eyes at you, first of all, it means that they consider you to be friendly and you know, somebody that they're close to. And second of all, they use it as a signaling system. And I've learned some of the signaling. So I can blink my eyes in communication with the cats, and we understand each other on it. And I just think, wow, that's so cool. But it also proves, of course, they got a soul. Of course, they're conscious. It's so blatantly obvious to me. So, and I suspect it's probably true for Melissa, but she was just asking just to be sure. So just wanted to share a few comments.
The beingness that you're observing is what you would call a soul.
Yeah.
And it's an amalgam of all of the other forms of being that particular animal has been and will continue to be.
Yeah. And that's so cool. I like that. So. Anything you want to add, Dan, before we move on?
What can we add to the source of all creation? like the source of all creation is spoken, but I just want to add my two pennies.
Oh, that's great. Well, then let's see if we can feed the source of all creation something a little bit more complex, okay?
A bit more juice.
Juicy. A little more juice, okay. So this one actually comes from Avinash, who was one of our first questioners back when we first started taking questions for the stream. He's the one who lived in a country somewhere, I figured in the Middle East, I wasn't sure exactly where, and he was asking about the role of government and how do you deal with a government that is overbearing and taking away liberties and so forth. So he came back. First of all, he loved the answer. In fact, I'll just read it verbatim. He says, some weeks back, I asked the stream a question about government, which tends to abuse power and impose anti-democratic laws. I loved the response from the stream. He says, by the way, I live in Mauritius. I recently felt that political leaders who are elected reflect the general vibration of the majority of residents of the country. For example, does a corrupted government get elected because a majority of the population are selfish and only care about money and hoarding money? He says that might be a topic of discussion. So, and he says, thank you. So there's a broad one for you, Stream. What do you think?
He is correct in the general vibration observation, but the general vibration can hold, it is about focus upon. So you've got generally, due to polarity, two opposing sides, and of course there's plenty of gray area in between, but it's very common across humanity at this time on your planet to be completely polarized and feel the need to take one side or another and completely subscribe to a set of beliefs. This is not true, but it is a very powerful vibration that is present at this time, and you are seeing the impact of that, the contrast of that, if you will, across your planet, and you will continue to see an escalation of this until at last you turn away from that and turn toward more free thinking, more gray area thinking. To return to the crux of the question, the focus upon in a positive way and a negative way both fuel. So you will have a group of people over here that are vibing with the greedy dictator in this example, that are believing they are on the right side of that and that they are going to benefit from it in the way that the dictator is going to benefit. They believe they're in the club. And then you have the opposing side that is fearful of all of that and focused on that which they fear rather than the solution to. All of that is contributing. And you see this very often because of this polarized nature on your planet. You see very often dictators coming into power, even though the majority say that they do not want to live under that type of rule. Yet they're in power anyway, and they are in power because of the focus upon the oppression. And you have some that are believing that they are not going to be in the club of being oppressed and desiring that. And you have probably many more in most of these examples of people who are simply fearing it, but they're fueling it through their fear.
Yeah, that's very well stated. In fact, the day that Avinash sent that question in, I subscribed to the Abraham Hicks mailing list and their daily message came in, and the message was very similar. It wasn't about governments imposing anti-democratic laws, abuse of power, and that sort of thing. It was about terrorism, but it was so parallel that I wanted to bring it in here and see what the David version of the stream has to say as compared to the Esther Hicks version. But the Esther Hicks version says it does not matter whether you are living in a country where there are some frequent terrorist attacks or in a country where there are random acts of violence. It does not matter what the culture is. It is only the feeling of vulnerability that ever puts you into a vibrational harmony with that which you fear. When you realize that by working to achieve your feeling of well-being, it is then impossible for you to ever rendezvous with anything other than well-being. That is the only place that freedom will ever be. And I like the way that's phrased because it's basically showing, okay, we know that living in fear is not going to be conducive to where we're trying to get to, but it's often hard to remember, kind of like for me last night, it was hard for me to remember where joy was. And when I can imagine if you're living in a society where you're experiencing terrorist attacks or something to that effect, to an extent we're experiencing that here in the US. When you live in that kind of society, it can be hard to remember, first of all, where good feeling is, where well-being is. So let's talk a little bit about that. You're in a bad space. How do we climb out of that bad space?
The work that is available to be done there is understand that you all create your own bubbles of reality. And there are human beings existing in terrorized lands that are not personally having the experience of fearing the terror. Not many, but yeah. There are some.
Sure.
It is a state of allowing, and that is a true state of empowerment. And we hear many of you use terms such as you're moving from 3D to 5D. These are all human terms that do not hold a specific meaning for us. But by and large, you are believing that you can exist in a very flawed physical reality of imperfection in such a way that you are not impacted by it. And that is accurate. You can absolutely move yourself mentally, regardless of who your ruler is, regardless of the safety of your neighborhood, regardless of the security around the terrorist acts and things of this nature, you can move yourself mentally to a place of security. And that takes some detuning work to do. And in a large part of our teachings are centered around this detuning work and the fact that you all have this vibrational flow that we speak of all the time. And when you're in high vibration and you've done some of this work, it is relatively easy for you to move your thoughts to a place of safety. And the place of safety is not about fixating on the safety itself, but and the idea of allowing what will be to be. The idea of allowing yourself to find joy in your everyday reality, regardless of your current conditions, regardless of where you are. Find things to appreciate, find joy, feel safety for yourself, build yourself this cocoon, if you will, of safety and security vibrationally, and that will be your experience every single time. The trick to all of this is learning to manage this through your vibrational flow. So when your vibration is in a lower state, being able to hold those powerful, protective thoughts and not dip into fear and in other negative emotions that trigger you back into that lower vibration.
That is a trick. I was face-to-face with that last night. Now, obviously, I wasn't dealing with a terrorist attack or a government crackdown or something. But what I was facing was, it was overwhelming. It was,
overwhelming is a bomb going off near your home.
Yeah.
That moment of bubble of reality, that this is what many do not understand, that the bubble of reality that you paint, your version of negative is your version of negative. It is just as terrifying for you in the moment as it is for someone who is actually encountering something that you may consider far more horrific.
Absolutely.
But the emotion is the same.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a tipping point where things become so frightening that there's another portion of your ego that takes over.
Mm-hmm.
And actually holds you away from dipping down into despair because you have to get yourself out of harm's way.
Right, right. Yeah, that manifests. That's usually what people call courage, where in the face of overwhelming odds, somehow somebody stands up and says, you know what, I'm going to get through this somehow, and I'm going to help other people get through, and I'm going to do whatever it takes.
It is the overwhelming desire to survive and push ahead. And most of you, in fact, all of you come pre-equipped with that. It is worked out of many along the way, but the working out of is you're allowing it to transpire that way. And it's never too late to shift focus and to detune this transgressor energy that we speak of all the time that is present in all of you. That allows you to move through your lower vibrational flow without the triggers.
I've had interesting phrase you use there. Oh, go ahead, Dan.
No, I was going to say I've witnessed this in two spaces. A, with my own experience with the COVID-19 stuff. Mm-hmm. We just decided we weren't really going to buy into it. So we take our precautions, but our life hasn't really been affected. And when all else is panicking, I mean, when we went to the gynecologist for the baby doctor. Sorry, went to the baby doctor. She's like, oh, make sure you're wearing your masks and don't do this and don't do that. And we're like, yeah, doctor, definitely. Yeah. And you see the same as well with some African-Americans that are very upset about being told that they're oppressed because they're genuinely not feeling oppression. As in, they're very upset that people are coming to pat them on the back and say, but then there are people that do feel that they're oppressed and so do feel the call for that support. But there are those that don't, and it's because the bubble that they've created is
different.
It's a different bubble. So.
Yeah. It's a great point. And when the thing that I wanted to go back to, I'm trying to remember what the phrase you were using. I didn't write it downstream and I should have, but you used a great little phrase there to describe that process. What was the phrase you used? Oh, shoot, I should have written it down. It was about the process of what it takes to avoid going into the depths what did you call it? I can't remember what it was.
Speaking of natural vibrational flow and the fact that there is transgressor energy that can be cleaned up, that we speak often of when you are in high vibration, one of the reasons that you meditate and clear your mind to raise your vibration to a point where we describe as neutral, which is little to no thought. And the reason that you are raising your vibration to that space is because you can connect in with our energy because we exist in neutral and above.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of latch on to your energy and your version of us pulls you up. Your transgressor energy acts exactly the same way in reverse. When polarity pulls your vibrational flow down as it naturally will flow, your active transgressor energy grabs hold of your vibration and drags it down. Mm-hmm. These are your fears and your triggers. But if you are detuning fear and judgment from your life on a consistent basis and detuning your transgressors through appreciation, that cleans all of that lower vibrational energy up. And now you can move through a downward flow without necessarily being triggered and without manifesting the obstacles to the degree that you once did.
Well, that's another word in there that I like, the detuning. Detuning is an interesting word to use. Why detune it? You make it sound like there's a tone that's being changed.
There is a tone that is being changed. You're shifting the vibration of something. You are not eradicating it. This transgressor still occurred. We will use the example of being abused as a child. The abuse itself is a transgressor. The one who abused you in this example was a transgressor. That is transgressor energy. And many of you that have had things such as this happen early in your life or at any point continue to tell the same story about it, how awful it was, how horrible it was, what a monster the person was. And you keep this vibration active by hearkening back to it in the same way over and over again. Sometimes it gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
That is negative. That is transgressor energy. And you can go through a space of forgiveness and tell yourself that you've forgiven the person, you've gotten over it, but you have not truly detuned it until you find a path to appreciation of it. And that path of appreciation, you are disarming it. It is no longer holds power over you as a transgressor because you now no longer look at the person who abused you as a monster. You are understanding from where they were coming that they allowed themselves to do such a thing. And in your understanding of them are not feeling the same negative emotion toward them. You are coming to understand how that served your development as a being, as a physical being.
Mm-hmm.
In some way, even if it set you off on a negative path, that ultimately always will parlay into something positive for you. Mm-hmm. You just have to connect the dots. And this is the work that you do in detuning. So detuning is changing the vibration of it as opposed to attempting to eradicate it or forget about it or move on from it or something of that nature. It is far more effective for you to detune it. You are changing the tune about it.
Mm-hmm.
I like also what you were talking about with appreciation, and I like it in part because that was what I was reaching for last night when I was in the depths of it. I couldn't find it right away, but I knew I had to get there. I knew that appreciation was important, and I was thinking, okay, what can I appreciate here? And at first, I couldn't think of anything to appreciate. None of it seemed appreciable, But over time, as I kind of stuck with it, my wife really helped an awful lot. So much love to my wife, Louise. I finally was able to find little tiny pieces of it to appreciate. Like, well, at least we get to eat out tonight. Just anything. I was reaching.
But it helps. Reach to find.
Just anything. I was like, there's got to be something good in this. Please, there's got to be something.
When you've gone so far down that you cannot quiet your mind and meditate without your mind running off in a negative direction, you're in lower vibration. And in meditation, when you are far down your spiral, meditation is not very effective. The most effective technique when you are down in despair or near that territory is low thought activity. Something that takes your mind off of it and allows your vibration to raise enough so that you can go into a process of appreciation. And from that process of appreciation, then you can go into meditation. And then from meditation, you can reach neutrality. And in neutrality, you can raise your vibration right up.
That was something else that my wife suggested. She says, go do a couple of your processes. You know, so I came and watched a little video that I watch every day, and I did something else while I was petting the cat. That's also one of my favorite high vibe things. I was not successfully quieting my mind, but at least did a distraction, and the distraction did help because.
And the easier the distraction, the easier it will be for you to find.
Yes.
If you are hammering away at trying to find the distraction because you're in low vibration, that is going to be a complex process and frustrating as well.
Right. A friend of mine.
Low vibrational territory is your negative creation territory. So think of it like this. Everything that you create down there is going to be negative.
True. Yeah, that's true. A friend of mine who used to do the show with me, and I'll send a shout out to her because she's actually dealing with COVID right now. But she once suggested to me when I was dealing with another downtime that I just create a list of go-to things to do in case I just need something to climb out. A list of things that are really easy for me, like you're saying, that I can just do and I know I'm going to feel better. And that's what I can't remember which item I did on the list. I have a list of 18 over here on the wall. I did one of them. Whichever one was, I don't remember. But
one of the
I did
most
one.
Effective for many is ironing.
Yeah.
When you are ironing, it takes enough of your thought not to burn yourself or to burn your item. You have heat, you have steam, you have motion. All the components are there for a very effective low thought activity to raise your vibration.
I think probably ironing would not have been near the top of my list just because in the state I was in, I could very easily have burned myself with the iron. But I get the message. I understand what you're saying. And for me, I guess the equivalent would be doing dishes. It's basically the same concept. It's just doing this other activity. But yeah, really almost anything would have made a difference. And it did. I mean, I watched my video. I did, some other thing. I can't remember what, some sort of meditative thing. And it did help to calm me down. And as I was, interesting thing too, I was able to notice this. And again, we're kind of a little bit away from dealing with, living in a terrorist society or, dealing with government or whatever. But like you said earlier, the feeling is very similar. So I'm kind of going on that. But as I was climbing out slowly, I was noticing my ability to kind of connect together how, the steps were going to be to resolve this issue that I was dealing with. Because I knew in general what had to be done. I had no idea how to get there. Those little steps started to fill in for me. I didn't have to think about it. They just kind of started to fill in my awareness. And the more I climbed out, the more they filled in. Now, I still didn't have the whole answer. There was like this big chunk that was missing, and I didn't know what to do about that. But nevertheless, the more that I kept focusing on this other stuff, distracting myself, the more that it started to fill in all for me, right in front of my eyes practically. So, I mean, looking for an appreciation,
always,
that was something to appreciate.
Like, guide you to raise your vibration for the solution to every problem that you manifest. When you are down in low vibration and you are in crisis mode and you are trying to solve it, it is not going to solve, most likely. It will solve when you step away from it. Even if you believe it's a crisis, it's an emergency, a few moments of raising your vibration will make all the difference in your being able to solve it effectively. In fact,
that's what happened.
You will not even need to solve it. It will solve itself in most cases.
It's just what it did. I almost feel like I should tell the whole story, but I'm not ready to tell it yet on the show. What I will say is that at the last possible second, the last possible thing that could possibly have resolved it, even though the odds were overwhelmingly against it, happened. I could hardly believe it when I found it.
It's important. All of these things work the same. So the specifics of your story, that is your choice whether to share that or not. Everything on your planet works this way. When you raise the vibration and allow a high vibration around any topic, it gets solved. You create your obstacles for the solving of them because that creates your expansion. That is your entire reason for being physical. That it is a perfect process. And anytime you're not solving something is because you're not truly allowing and trusting and raising your vibration around it. And that is the work to be done, is letting go and allowing yourselves to truly trust.
So let's get back to Avinash's question once again to kind of bring it around full circle. And he was asking specifically about dealing with living in a country that's anti-democratic, government is cracking down, abusing power, and so forth. And you made the point earlier, there are a small number of people who manage to live in places like that without being impacted by it. They basically just, it's almost like they're living in a different place, although they really are in the same physical general area. So let's talk about what it takes to maintain and build, first build that bubble and then maintain that bubble.
It is not something that's going to be created instantaneously. Anything is possible. Anything could be created instantaneously. Mm-hmm. But when you have a vibrational flow present and you have an active vibrational set point, you are all living your vibrational set points. This is why if you desire to live differently, more extravagantly, and you find yourselves on a path of earning more money, very often you find yourselves right back to where you were before. Or if you have a sudden windfall, suddenly something's going to come around and snatch it right back away from you and take you right back to where you were before. This is your vibrational set point, and shifting a vibrational set point takes some effort on your part. And the effort is the detuning work. The effort is the changing your habit of focus work. That is the work, and that is the effort. We will state that it can be instantaneous, but when your minds are running on autopilot, your subconscious minds are recreating this vibrational set point for all of you all the time. It's possible to change it, but it does take effort in detuning transgressors and trusting more, changing your belief system, and allowing yourselves to release the very powerful vibrations of fear and judgment. And judgment is rooted in fear, so it's all really fear. When you do that, then you begin really, you gain the tools to really start moving that vibration up, and you can move your vibrational set point up significantly from there once you learn to do that work.
Talk a little bit more about that fear aspect too, because it is all based in fear, but it seems at times like it isn't, especially if we're enmeshed in the middle of it. But I think that's a really important point. Talk more about why that understanding of that as fear is so important.
If you look at the lower vibrational range of emotion, all of it is rooted back to fear. Doubt, worry, envy, all of it. It all comes back to you fearing something is not going to work for you, or you fearing something negative is going to happen to you. And you're building out a scenario, perhaps based on something that's happened in the past, or something that you have observed happen to other people. You're building out a future scenario that is fear-based, based on the worst possible outcome, and holding yourself in place. This is a component of your ego that seeks to protect you by holding you in place. And it is very stimulated at this time on your planet because it's been used to control you for so long. Think of all of the things that have fear woven into them that you act upon. Your politics is very fear-based. Your religions tend to be fear-based. Much of your marketing is fear-based. Buy our thing or you're going to suffer XYZ is a very common theme in your marketing. Yep. Your relationships, your health, your money, your job, your businesses, everything roots back to fear, and fear is used to motivate you. So that's a highly stimulated component of your egos, but it can be detuned. And we always guide when anyone asks us what they should do, how they should make a decision, we always say, remove fear from the equation and gain your clarity. If you could not fail, if there's nothing to be fearful of, in fact, if fear does not exist at all, what would your choice be? And then understand that there are other beings on your planet that are making those choices without fear and achieving what you want. The thing that you want, as soon as you want it and dream it, it is created vibrationally. That creation is going to be manifested in some way by someone at some point. You get to decide vibrationally whether you grab that thought and allow it to come to fruition or not. And if you do not, it still exists, and eventually someone else will, because it's been created. It's going to manifest for someone.
That's an interesting point, too. The idea, and this is something that Abraham has voiced through Esther, so it's very, very similar. The idea that when we think a thought of some kind, especially when it has an intention, it has a, you know, I want that, I desire that attached to it, it's created forever. It never stops being, does it? I mean, we may move away from it. We may lose interest in it or stop vibrating to it, but it continues forever. That's the nature of what we talked about a week or two ago. This was about 2 weeks ago, where I was asking you just in general, well, you know, when we engage in contrast and we think something and a thought is created, it's creating new energy. That's the expansion of the universe we're talking about. And it doesn't stop. It just keeps spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. That's really amazing.
Eternal. Consciousness is eternal, ever evolving and ever expanding, but eternal.
Mm-hmm.
In the expansion, there's new thought that is created that expands thought. And it does not cease to be just because it is not yet manifested in physical. And in some way, all thoughts will express themselves in physical.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we state when you come up with an idea, the idea is there. It is created. At some point, someone is going to, for lack of a better term, steal your idea. Because you've created it for the stealing of. And your greatest creations on your planet have been stolen ideas from other people who do not allow them to manifest.
So even if I'm a person who complains that I never manifest what it is that I want, in fact, I've manifested everything I want. I just did it for somebody else.
You are creating it for the benefit of someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is an entirely different way of looking at it. Usually we think of it as, well, it just never showed up. It never happened.
If you remove fear and judgment from the equation, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In fact, yeah. It could be quite nice. You can get the karmic payoff of acknowledging that you gave it to someone else if we wanted to go to another level, no?
That would be a zoomed out way of looking at it rather than being bitter and angry with yourself for not manifesting it physically yourself.
Yeah. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I would
do. That if you created something vibrationally, and someone else came along, again, lack of better human terminology here, and zaps your creation and allows it to manifest for them and not you, now you see how easy it is to manifest.
Mm.
Simply think another thought, create another creation vibrationally, and allow yourself to be the one that manifests it. Very often, the reason that you get into these vibrational set points, is, and we have spoken of this on here before, is this vibration of never again. That creates the abundance block, that builds the wall. You allow yourselves to get burned one time, and then you allow that to be the story that is told, and you create this vibration of never again. So you then never allow yourself again to dream as big, or to try, or to trust. But if you remove fear, you are allowing of all that again. Mm-hmm. You allow yourselves to fall in love over and over and over again, regardless of how many times you've been burned. And who wins in the end? The one that allows themselves to fall in love and be burned over and over again, or the one that never allows themselves to fall in love in the first place out of the fear of being burned? Richer experience?
That was one of the wonderful things about the discussion 2 weeks ago, because we focused on that concept of trust, and you were really elucidating quite clearly how important that trust is and making it very clear, I thought, how valuable that trust is. Trust is actually of great value to us, much more value than we often give it in our conscious deliberations. And
trust is everything, because your ability to actually manifest whatever it is you're looking to manifest boils down to trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you remove fear, you then allow yourself to trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no fear of failure. There's no fear of not having. There's no fear of experiencing pain or loss. You're simply trusting.
Do you think it's accurate to say that trust, in a sense, is the opposite of fear?
You could say that. And the idea of trust is you are trusting the universal process of creation, so much so that even when you manifest an obstacle, you understand that in your broader trust of the universe, that obstacle was placed there to allow you to create a more perfect version of whatever it is you're looking to create. This is not about simply thinking a thought and having it fall in your lap. That is why creation does not operate that way, especially around the things that you consider important. Because when you consider them important, you are pondering them often. And when you ponder them often through a vibrational flow, you're going to ponder positively and negatively, and you're going to create this tension that is going to cause it to take longer to manifest. But in the taking longer to manifest, you are going to place some mines, if you will, along the path. And each one of those mines that you step on that ignite creates an opportunity for you to create something bigger and better and more perfect than before. It is the universal process of creation. This is why your wealth and your relationships and your improved health and all the things that you think are so important for your happiness take a longer to manifest.
Wow. There's a lot of depth in that statement. A whole lot of depth. I'm going to have to replay that one a few times to make sure I really got it. But yeah, that was really good. So anything to add, Daniel, or do you have nothing else to add to what Source Energy is saying?
Not really adding, just calling attention to, obviously, where there's that much depth, there might be so people that stripping it away, really. And one of the things I love to remind myself is that I've only ever seen a reflection of my own face.
Mm.
I've never actually seen my own face.
Yeah.
And yet we who have never seen our own face try to demand and set how creation is going to occur and dictate the path, and then we get obsessed with it, and it's got to be this way, and oh, it's not showing up yet, and blah blah blah, versus just having fun with the whole thing and not getting so caught up trying to work out details that our human brains, which are locked in the third dimension, probably don't have the computing power for anyway.
Yeah, that's true. That was one of the earliest things for me to let go of. And I've had so many opportunities to understand and appreciate just how true it is, because I've had so many problems thrust at me that I don't have the faintest first clue how to go about solving them.
Mm.
And that has actually helped me to say, okay, I give up. I don't know what to do here. I'm just going to let go of it, let the universe take care of it, because I am clueless. I just don't know how to do this. And when I let go, then things start to happen.
Mm.
Yeah. It is an amazing thing. Well, thank you, Stream. As usual, your insights have been absolutely fabulous. And we'll let David reconnect to being David and less connected to being the Stream. I still wonder whenever I see him do this, Daniel, what it must be feeling like when he's doing this connection, disconnection thing, you know?
I too wonder. And then I think, do I wonder enough to try it?
Yeah, me too.
Just to let someone else do it. It's like being plugged into infinite consciousness. Do I want to watch it on TV?
Yeah.
Or be in it?
Exactly.
It's very, very, very overwhelming when you start really allowing it. It took me years to verbally channel. Almost 50 years to verbally channel. The energy that comes through and the thought is very overwhelming. And I think that you see that in my speech. There's a neuroses almost, that's a stammer and things like that.
Because, oh, yeah.
There's so much coming through, and I'm still not as proficient as my ego would like me to be speaking beautifully and lyrically.
Well, I got to give you some credit.
I think Esther does that with Abraham very well. I think it's very beautiful and lyrical.
But you listen to what Esther first was. If you listen to the first tapes of Esther.
Oh, very different.
It was almost like she was trying to force this voice from beyond or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Very different from what it is.
Mine has evolved. If you listen to my very first couple of podcasts, it was very high pitched. And,
really?
And I really set the intention for it to be more like me, but not me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I've got, but still there's like, you ask a question and there is instant clarity, but then verbalizing that instant clarity in the English language with my vocabulary, is odd. And I can tell you and Gary Bodley, who also channels, says the same thing. The more I channel, the more, I don't have a good memory anymore.
Mm.
There's things that I don't remember. Like I don't remember like many of the shows that we've done. You might say something, reference another show, When I'm here and it's off the stream, I very often don't even remember what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's really zapped my memory. And I don't think I'm, you know, getting Alzheimer's at 52. It's just something about channeling that just zaps. It takes some of my brain power away in other areas. There used to be areas of my business when I worked for somebody else, I was on top of all sorts of things to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars of business. My business personally is a lot smaller than that, but there's aspects of it that I can't handle anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't. I, you know, I was talking to Dan about some aspects of his business the other day and it just started boggling my mind. Like, I can't, you know, I need to go hire somebody. I'm working toward that. It's just hiring somebody to run all of that. And I'm just going to write and channel and that's it.
Well, hey, as long as you know that you're David Strickle, that's really all you need to know.
I still am aware of who I am. Yes.
That's good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Because
you're pretty cool strand of consciousness, David.
Absolutely.
I don't want that to get lost in the ethers.
Yeah. You know, it feels good to do it. It feels very good to allow their energy to flow through. And especially when it's been very deep and kind of loving energy, I can't describe that feeling. You know, there are times when I go into these longer, when we do the summits, where I'm on for like 2 hours, I'll start crying at the end. I think Dan's been on.
I've been a couple, yeah.
I just, there's tears pouring through my eyes at the end when it's gone really deep.
And wow.
It's just like, I can only handle so much prolonged access to all of that.
Yeah. Well, when you were talking about the stammer, as you described it, it's kind of a stammer, where you're trying to turn it all into English and so forth. When you're actually receiving that information and transmitting it, I can actually almost feel that process. I can feel you. It's almost like you're waiting for the words to come. Like, okay, if I keep my mouth open, something's going to come, and then it comes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not like they are possessing me. It's like this instant just knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm in high vibrational state, it's all the time. But when I'm specifically setting intention to channel, it just comes and it comes and it comes. It's like, wow, that's so clear. And then when people ask questions about things that are otherworldly, I get such clarity on what UFOs are about, what life on other planets is, what all these, you know, all this stuff. But there's no words to find to really describe what I'm getting. And that's the challenge of it all. That's where I get stammery is there's no word for this.
A lot of people who do this kind of work have written or described on interviews and so forth how it is so overwhelming that that's why there is no words. There's too much there to turn into simple English words.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Well, think of just infinite creation. Think of infinite layers of reality that are right here, right now with us. Infinite.
Mm-hmm.
All right here, right in front of us, and not off somewhere, you know, and there's not like a beginning and end to the universe, and there's X number of planets and X number of suns, and then that's it. No, it's, you know, we don't think in terms of that. We measure everything, and everybody asks questions in human terms, of course, because they're human beings.
Right.
And the all of the quantifying and measurements and how old are you and how long have you been around to the stream, all of those are really interesting to me. The only question, and I don't remember where it was. I don't think it was on this show. It was before this. Somebody said, well, what is the source of source?
No.
What was before you?
Yeah.
And if I recall right, the answer was their original thought, they are all that is. And due to just expansion and evolution, they've expanded and evolved into all this.
Yeah.
But to their knowledge, there was nothing because it's still consciousness.
Hmm.
So to their knowledge, there was nothing before this. And that was the only time I thought, oh.
Yeah.
I just heard the stream say to our knowledge.
Yeah.
That effect of to their knowledge, there was nothing before them and they are everything and they are original thought and they are infinite and all this stuff. And I thought that's, you know, we don't know that.
That's very interesting.
But I think going to the stream level is enough for me.
That's a lot. It's a lot more than
way beyond your comprehension. So it's plenty for me right now in this life.
The other thing I wanted to mention while you were describing, you know, it's more than just a few planets, stars, and so forth. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but there's the new Secret movie, The Secret: Dare to Dream, which I've seen now a couple times actually. It's pretty good, by the way, for those who are interested.
Is that Katie Holmes?
Yes, Katie Holmes is the star. Yeah.
So you thought that was pretty good?
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't call it a great movie. but it was watchable. I enjoyed it. You know.
Okay.
So yeah, it was pretty good. Put it this way: there aren't too many movies I watched twice, and I watched that one twice, so it can't be all that bad. You know.
Stop watching it. Wow.
But the reason I mentioned it is at the end of the movie, as they fill in the finish of the movie, they start panning away from the couple. And then they pan away to a country view, and then to a planet view, and then to a solar system view, and then to a galaxy view, and then to the galaxy as part of a larger galaxy. And then that part of that cloud is part of a much larger galaxy. And they just keep panning back and back and back and back. And by the time they're done, if you've been watching and thinking about what they're saying there, your mind is blown because it's too far.
Mm.
It's just too far. So that's kind of what I imagine you experience when you're receiving this. You're just receiving this, boom, this infinite.
And now I want to watch the movie because my ego judges the secret as it's very surface. It's very commercial.
Mm-hmm.
The stream says it's perfection because it turned a whole planet basically onto at least the idea that you create your own reality, because it is one of the best selling books of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Got that idea out there. Most people have heard of Law of Attraction now, at least.
Right. Yeah.
Where before that book, that wasn't true. So it did its job. It was the vehicle that got people from there to here. And then, you know, maybe Abraham takes a little deeper, and then maybe the stream and whoever else is kind of coming behind that thought is taking it to a different place. And that's all perfection.
I think what this new movie does is it does the same thing with a fictional perspective, because it's a fictional story rather than a documentary.
Well, trying to teach Law of Attraction through a novel story, yeah. Right?
And I would say that it sets the bar rather low so that somebody else can come along and create something even better. But it sets the bar. It's a bar that was never actually set.
It's done its job. It's definitely done its job. And where
it's
I come
not
in,
the conversation.
Right.
Yeah. Where I come in is, okay, we all understand the Law of Attraction. We all understand that we create our reality. But there are these things that we want in our world, and there's this understanding that we want to have of why negative exists that you need to go a lot deeper into to really start getting it, because you can't get into Law of Attraction and not somehow get into spirituality.
And there are some parts of it that's relatively surface. Some of it's funny because of that, lightly humorous. At one point, one of the major protagonists, the love interest of Katie Holmes, is introducing the basic concepts to her children. And so her son, in response, says, okay, well, right now I'm thinking about a pizza. And a moment later, there's a knock on the door and there's a guy with some pizzas. I mean, it was so corny that it was almost unbelievable, but it was funny.
The thing that I don't like about it, though, and again, this is my human ego judgment, is telling people that it's that easy and then having them go and try it and it doesn't work, and then they don't allow themselves to go deeper into the teaching. But that's their experience. So that's my ego judgment of it. It's not a stream judgment by any means.
I'll tell you, even for people who don't really understand or know this stuff, I think they wouldn't take that as being a serious recommendation. I think they would treat it as corny because it was so stupidly obvious. Oh yeah, sure.
Well,
right.
I remember the original stream movie. That's not happening yet.
I'll watch that one when that comes out.
The secret movie where the kid dreams of the red bicycle and the red bicycle.
Right, right, yeah.
Front. And I used to joke. I said, I've been trying that with a Bentley Continental for years. And it's so
well, when you work out the secret voodoo to do it for the Bentley Continental, please let me know.
Yes. When we have the stream movie, well, I'll manifest my Bentley, I guess.
I'm waiting to find out when the stream movie's coming out. That's going to be cool. I'll watch that. I'll buy tickets for that.
Well, I can tell you the stream book. I just finished the first draft of the stream.
Oh, really?
The stream book is out. I'm sorry. The stream book is out. The Taya book. It's taken me 2.5 years to write the Taya book. And I just finished the first draft. And I thought I finished it, and then I realized there was a whole lot more, and I took several months off from writing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went into what I call quantum time in the last 2 weeks, and I doubled the size of the book in less than 2 weeks.
Wow. Yeah.
And the stuff at the end is so higher level than the beginning of the book, but it's perfect because the beginning of the book are for people that are just discovering the Taya practice, and it was that level. And then I've had this break in time where I now have 2.5 years of graduates of boot camp to draw upon as case studies, and all the teachings that we have all co-created in there. That's the end of the book.
See, I think you also have a bit of a disadvantage. Jerry and Esther, when they were writing their books, Esther would get into connection with Abraham. Jerry would ask the questions. They recorded that, and they turned that into a book.
This book is like that. Kat Wonders, who was my editor on the first book, she said, I want to be your Jerry.
Oh, okay.
So she is inquisitive. She's a very bright woman. She's a ghostwriter and a book editor. And she edited the Stream book, and now she's co-authoring this book with me, and it is her questions. So okay. The whole first part of the book is Kat questioning the Stream, just like Jerry questioned Abraham. The middle of the book now is my TIA masters, the people in my mastery program participating in Q&A, and the end is putting all this to work in your life.
Oh, sounds like a must-buy to me. Okay. Well, yeah. When's it coming out?
Well, I need an agent.
Okay.
If you have any literary agents that specialize in spiritual writings, especially channel writings, which is a hot button topic, I would love
to. Maybe if you need a proofreading or editing or something like that, you know?
I'll probably, after Kat gets through the first, she's doing the first round of editing now.
Okay.
Luckily, my co-author is an editor, professional editor. She's a really
good. That helps.
She's editing, and then I'll start shopping it. And while I'm shopping it, I'll probably also get some people to read it and give me feedback on it.
Sounds good. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff, guys. As usual, this has been absolutely brilliant. And we got a little bit of a preview of what's about to come in the publishing world. So that's pretty cool, too. Yeah. Any clues on when we're going to see the Stream movie, though? I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to that one.
I think it would be the Taya movie more than the Stream.
The Taya movie? Oh, okay.
Very woven into it for sure. But this book is, there's more channeled writing in the Taya book than there was in the Stream book.
Okay.
The Stream book was my story of how I started channeling.
Oh, yeah.
Then I channeled, and then the Stream goes into answering the 23 questions for Source, and then I wrap it all up. And then Taya was just an idea in that book. And then since then, I started Taya Bootcamp. I've turned it into a practice that I teach other people, and the rest is history.
All right.
Yeah, but I'm going to go more of a mainstream route this time, I think, and that's why I want to find an agent. I want to manifest an agent.
Good.
And see what publishing looks like.
Yeah.
I had a boutique publisher last time. It was very easy. This time I would look at a more mainstream publisher, I think, just for broader distribution.
Very cool. I like it. So, all right. Anything else? I mean, I know I keep doing this to you, Dan, but anything else to add to the Stream here? Well, this is David.
Well, this is right. David now, so I feel like I could at least put my toe in the conversation. He said in the middle of the session, David Walt's like, oh, do you want to add something? I was like, Source of All Creation's just spoken. What have I got to add to the conversation?
I wanted to add something to what that's funny. Oh, you're
trying to involve Dan.
No. I didn't want to add something. I was just taking up the juiciness. And it's like, have you got something to add, Dan? I was like, Source of All Creation kind of just carried that one. I don't really have anything to add to it. I'm just here.
I was just trying to do my host thing. I thought Dan should have a chance, but he was right.
You know? I was just soaking up the yumminess, to be
never
honest.
Never know. Well, they don't get offended. They don't have egos, so they don't get offended by things. So if there's anybody
else to add, I also have some intellect and some humility and some knowing of my place. So when I have something to maybe add some context for the audience or a personal experience that might allow someone to connect to it, definitely, I'll throw in. But other than that, I'm just taking in the yumminess.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
You know, one of my favorite Abraham videos was when they I think they make those clips and then let people pirate the clips and get them out there. I don't think they're allowing people to film because they're all over YouTube and they're not Abraham's channel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you can watch Abraham videos.
Noticed they allow the ones that are audio only. The ones that include video are the ones they knock off. But if they're audio only, they seem to let those go for some reason.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's gotten the message out there. So it's actually brilliant marketing if you think about it.
Yeah.
So there was one where this guy, he had a red hat pulled down over his face, and he got into the chair, the hot seat, and was very negative about Abraham.
I remember that one, yes.
It was one of the best ones ever to me.
Yeah.
Because the way they handled it was beautiful, and he was not understanding on that level, but I was appreciative of the fact that, I mean, it was perfection. They called him into the hot seat. So obviously that message needed to be addressed. And I like addressing the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people land on these channel teachings and don't know what they're absorbing. And it is a lot. And there is a lot of judgment, a lot of walls that go up around it. And there's even in our mastery meeting the other day, there's something out there about this movie that's on Netflix and it's supposed to be promoting pedophilia.
Oh boy.
And I had a very zoomed out opinion about it. And in my, and somebody just was like, how can you not be offended? I'm like, I hadn't even seen it yet. You know, I'm supposed to be offended by something I haven't even seen or know what it is.
Right.
And I watched the trailer for it and I'm like, they're just little kids being silly little kids. I didn't think anything.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it was a big, big deal. It was a big, big deal. Yeah. Last week, people are, you know, cancel Netflix and somebody, I don't ever go on Twitter and, I have a Twitter account, but I'm never on there. And somebody, it caught my eye. Somebody said, if you don't cancel Netflix, you're a pedophile. And I thought, whoa.
That's all a little bit.
Yeah, cable. I don't really watch TV, but I like my stand-up comedy on Netflix. So what's this about? And I kind of dug into it and I just thought, well, you know, I'll watch it and just figure out for myself. I'm not going to let somebody else tell me what to think about something and tell me that I'm a pedophile because I didn't cancel Netflix. You know, that whole zoomed out opinion about everything to me is a healthier way to live life. Let's don't rush to judgment and jump to conclusions and get hysterical about stuff. Let's take a breath and absorb something and view it from a higher perspective and then decide if it's something that's inappropriate, it's inappropriate. But you know, the hysteria thing is just, I'm not going to get hysterical about it though, Dan.
I don't blame you. It's not a good thing.
I don't
thing
even know why I got off on that tangent, but it was a little shocking to me, the nasty reaction. But that's just, that cancel culture thing is so common right now.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
If you do one little thing that offends me, you're out, you're canceled, you're done. Let's get rid of this person, you know.
That's like I was saying the other day about this whole thing of getting caught up in the other side of it when all you're doing is just adding more negative juice to it. I don't.
Yeah.
Well, I think most people don't understand that. That
disconnected from me on Facebook because I wouldn't get in the middle of some argument about politics. I said, I'm not going to get into that. And how can you not? How can you not be? And I said, I don't give any power over my life. Whoa. He did not like that. What do you mean? It's got every power. I'm like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't have power over my life. You're in Palm Springs, California. You're living in a resort town. This dude lives in a, you know, multi-million-dollar home. And he's hysterical about, you know, politics. I'm like, you've created your bubble of reality and now you're allowing fear about whoever's going to win the next election to hold you away from joy. And you get to do that if you want to, but don't get mad at me if I'm not doing that.
Well, if you think that's going to piss him off, I could give you a whole bunch of ways to piss him off. I'm really good at it.
Sure. Well, somebody told me the other day that they registered to vote so they could vote for Donald Trump. I don't care. I'm like, yeah, whatever. And I shared that at dinner the other night. And of course, two or three people were like,
Oh yeah.
Oh, well, I'm just glad that I don't have a pony in this race and I'm just not giving politics that much power in my life that I'm going to let it upset me.
Well, we've actually talked in the past about, how this was actually one of the stream conversations about how what we are seeing overall is the general trend of all these institutions starting to crumble. And that for me is the attraction where looking at the political scene is all about. But even there are times where the crumbling is just too much. I need to back off. And I think that's really the key is learning when to say, okay, this is more than I'm ready to handle right now. I've got to take a step back. And yeah. By the way, that's exactly what we need to do anyways, to learn to take that step back. So it works out nicely.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, you've got fear driving something that you don't want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So whatever you pay attention to is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger in your life. And whatever we pay attention to collectively is going to get bigger and bigger in our world until it explodes. And then we have to deal with it a different way. And then it ends up correcting itself.
It's funny that you should say that too, because one of the things I've been working on with myself with the political picture right now is that, because I'll immerse myself in it and I'll immerse myself to a point where I'm feeling one side or the other's angst and anger and fear and all that kind of thing. And I'm hearing their arguments and I'm hearing all this stuff. And I'll say, okay, I've put myself here deliberately. Now, can I see my way to asking for what I want and what I prefer instead? I use it as a way to practice. Can I get myself out of this place that I've allowed myself deliberately to fall into to climb out of by focusing on what I want? It's almost like going to the gym. It's like doing some workout. And
what you become,
be a little careful with it,
but you become a whole different person depending on our vibration.
Yeah.
So when we're at high vibration, we're a Teflon. But when polarity takes us down and we allow ourselves to be triggered, then we're the opposite of that. Everything is triggering us. Everything is bad. Everything has a negative outcome. And it's just, it's amazing how little society, how little attention society pays to their vibration.
Yeah.
How important it is.
But that doesn't really surprise me because most people don't understand this stuff. I just know for myself, the more, like, for instance, I had that meltdown yesterday. That's a meltdown that 10 years ago, that could have lasted a month. It could have lasted 6 months. It lasted an hour. And yeah. I'm sure that happened because I've been going to the gym, so to speak. I've been doing these things to practice. Can I stretch
you
myself?
You raise your fault vibration so you don't get down as far and you don't stay down there as long.
And
well, I think, did I talk about my identity theft? I think I just talked about it.
Yes, you did. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure we did it on the show.
That very quickly. In fact, within the hour of finding out about it, I detuned it by finding appreciation for it. Right. And then within less than 2 days, it was solved.
Yeah.
Completely solved. That's a big thing.
That's a thing that could have knocked most people on their butts for a year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was very happy that I had the tools that I had because that was a big negative manifestation that all this vibrational work that I do, I still went down my spiral enough to manifest something like that. But I just found appreciation for it, for the precision that the people that stole my identity put, the effort they put in. I almost feel bad they didn't get any money out of it.
almost, he said, almost.
Oh, you poor people. Probably one of a million they were stealing that weekend, right?
Well, on that cheery thought, I think since we're about, 14 minutes over, we should probably draw it to a close. But thank you, guys. This has been wonderful as usual. Daniel, I'll be seeing you on Thursday. I don't know if our friend Alex is going to be there or not, but hopefully she will. If she's not, she'll be there at least in spirit. So I'm looking forward to talking to you then. And David, we look forward to speaking with you again next Tuesday. So you
always
guys have
fun.
A great week.
Always fun to hang out with both of you and all of you listening.
So thank you guys much. Thank you, live stream. Thank you especially to our podcast listeners as well. We will see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.